it's no different from other liquids like water, like blood, that we say they can predispose to becoming tummy. Okay? But Hocha, in the case of the Mishnah, Lekaboyle the Mashke, doesn't say that he took this cluster of grapes because he wanted to to make it into a wine, to make it into a liquid. What did he take it for? To eat. And it so happened, you know, that some of the grapes, let's say, you know, started to exude a little bit liquid. But that wasn't the purpose of it. And so therefore, right. Pardon me?
It's not to ferment.
Well, not necessarily to ferment.
Well,
when a liquid starts coming out of the liquid itself is possible, I mean, to you know, predispose it to become tummy. But this was not the intention. The intention was only to eat.
Right.
So, therefore...
What does that have to do with it being where they are pressing the grapes?
Pressing the grapes is in order to make it into wine.
Yeah, that's...
So, therefore,
that would definitely,
that would definitely predispose to...
Right.
Don't be sure, the mushroom.
This is just accidentally, it happens to be exuding liquid.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. All right, now we come to the tauris. Tauris, as we said, is a certain fish that it looks like a trefa fish, but it's a kosher fish. But if it is minced up, right, mash it so that you don't recognize it anymore, then in that particular case, it can be considered prohibited to be eaten because we don't know whether it's really the kosher fish or the trefa fish that it is. You know, pickled herring is not so bad because you have pieces over there. But if you tell me, for example, a herring they make into a herring salad, you understand? Then do you recognize the herring in there? That's the question. Okay? This is what we're going to be talking about in the next few lines. It says, Tadarabadam. So, Tauris she'ena trufa, then if the Tauris is not chopped up, then it is permissible. Tadarabadam. So, our sages have taught us, Ezuhi Tauris she'ena trufa, right? What do we mean by a Tauris which is not chopped up? It says, Kol she'rosh v'shidro nikar. This is a tauris where you can recognize the head and the spine of the fish. The ezitzir sheyesh bo dogo, and how about which brine can have a fish growing inside of it? So it says kosher kilbis achas uste kilbios. This is brine in which you can find a kilbis or two kilbis. Okay. Rashi at the bottom of the page explains that as far as the kilbis is concerned, he says, Gedela me'eleha, it grows by itself, but tzir dogim tahirim, in the brine of kosher fish. Im yesham tzir dogim tome, but if there's the brine of trefa fish, then in that particular case, saying kilbis kedelebo, then the kilbis cannot grow in it. So that's why I say, I don't know exactly what is a tauris, I don't know exactly what a kilbis is, but obviously, in the days of the Talmud, they were familiar with these fish, and this was the, this is a practical question.
Right.
Right. So now we continue on the next blot, Daf Mem. 40.
The last one.
Yes, the last one in the chapter.
The last one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
The last Daf there. Yeah.
Right. No. I don't think I have the strength to finish it tonight, so we'll finish it next week. All right.
I don't have the strength either.
Is that going to be film time?
Yeah. Yeah. So next week in Mitzvah Shem, we will finish the second chapter.
Oh, how
will
it be?
Huh?
What do you think?
to do
it would be very nice if we make a little scene.
Should I order a book? The second volume?
Okay.
Do you want the second volume?
Okay, it's tough, the second volume. It's much harder than this.
Really?
Yeah, right.
Well, do you want to go on to it? That's the important. Do you
yeah, I think I'm game to it.
You're game for it?
All
right. I'll
okay. If at any time you feel that you don't want to, I mean... Okay. Yeah. We've always done a complete Masechta,
right.
So just as soon continue. That
the
way.
Next one is the parish are shorter.
Parish are a little shorter, right, because there's still three more prakim to go.
Yeah, three more prakim.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Is that the third chapter?
Next week. We're going to finish the second chapter next week. And maybe do the first Mishnah. Something like that. Okay.
All right.
So, the Gemara now questions a little bit about the language of the last statement that we had over here. It says, Shaitadei's Bay. Remember what it said? One or two cubias, right?
Right.
Swimming around in it. Okay.
Right.
So the Gemara says, Hashto cubis achas haba. Look, you said if it has one cubis, right? And shori, you say, then it's kosher. So shtei cubias mipoi. So. Do I have to ask a question if it has two of them over there? Right. So they say, like Kasha. Not a Kasha.
Right.
Why is it a Kasha? It says, because Kan Bipsuches, Kan Bipsuches. Says, here you have to look about what kind of a barrel is it in. Okay? Or a jar, if you wish. A jar, a barrel. The Hebrew word for that, remember, is chodis. So as Rashi explains, it's on the top line over there. Chodis pesuches, he says, if the barrel is open, or if the jug is, the jar, let's say the jar is open, the top line, right? So he says, lois sagi bechada, if it happens to be open, then it's not enough that there's only one kilbis in there. The Ika, the Neymar, he says, it's possible to say, how did the kilbis get in there? Me'alma nofal, but it simply fell in.
Yeah,
because the jar was open. But if you have two, right, then in that particular case, you know that it has to be kosher, because while one accidentally may not, but two,
yeah,
definitely.
Even
right.
If one is
right.
Accidentally, but you say that kilbis can't exist except in kosher brine.
Correct.
So it's existing in kosher brine. One of them, the second, must be also kosher.
That was the question. Obviously, the second one should be questioned. Should be kosher.
Yeah,
so why do they have to mention the second one?
Yeah.
That's what the Gemara wants
right.
to know. So the answer that they give is that if the barrel itself is open, okay,
yeah.
It's possible, and the barrel, of course, contains brine in it,
right.
Okay?
Kosher brine.
No, we don't know.
Well, if there's a kilby, you say...
Hold it.
If there's, there's one
the brine, it's brine, fish brine.
Yeah.
We don't know. Is it kosher fish brine? Treifa fish brine. And we see the kilbies... One kilbis in the open barrel.
Has to be kosher.
No, he's saying that the kilbis might have fallen in, but if you see two of them in the open barrel, then in that particular case, we have to assume that it's kosher brine.
No,
because
I don't follow that.
One may be.
I don't follow it.
No,
what
don't out? Argue with the Gemara.
Answer the question. A kilbis can't exist unless it's in kosher brine.
Correct.
Right. If it fell in there and it's swimming around, it's got to be kosher brine.
Yeah.
Right? If a second one fell in, even if a second one fell in, Yeah. If it's swimming around, it's got to be kosher brine.
Right.
Right. If it's not kosher brine, they wouldn't be swimming around. So what's the problem?
If it's not kosher brine, there's a possibility that one kilbis might have fallen in from someplace or other.
But you say kilbis can't exist unless it's in kosher brine. Did you say that in the previous Mishnah?
Might be right. Yes, but how do we know that this kilbis is swimming around over there?
Well, it could be simply
a dead kilbis fell in.
A dead one.
A bird dropped
it. Swimming around.
Or it could be right after the fact.
Right.
Just
swimming around.
It doesn't say, but the Mishnah doesn't say it has to be swimming around. It just says that the kilbis don't exist elsewhere. They're going to die eventually.
Right.
Okay.
What I want to know
is.
Yes.
It's a fish.
Okay. And you've got a barrel. This is where I don't understand.
No.
It's a barrel. Kimvanet. Where would it fall from?
Well,
in other words,
maybe somebody was careless and threw in one, or maybe a bird picked one up and dropped it in, or something like that.
Very far, right. Yeah.
But the point is, we don't know if there's only one kilbis in there. This is the point of the argument that they're making.
So if we have two,
then in that particular case, we know that. It has to be kosher, Brian.
Didn't the previous sentence say that one or two would be okay?
Yes.
But
they want to know, so why does it mention two if one by itself would be good?
That's the argument I'm making.
So, therefore, they say you need two if it's an open barrel. Again, I stress, open barrel.
That's okay? Yeah, all right.
Okay.
That satisfies me.
However,
if the barrel itself is closed and there is a kilbis in it, then it's kosher.
Okay.
One would make it kosher.
Right.
Okay?
That's
what they're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
If
they ever come across a barrel with
kilbis,
we'll know what happens and what to do.
Right.
Pickled herring. So is I'm pickled herring. All right. Okay. Itmar, we have learned.
Yeah.
All right. This is in connection with what was said at the bottom of the previous page about recognizing the head and the spine. Okay? All right. Rav Huna Omar. When it says Ad Shatahei Rosh V'Shidra Nikon, he says that you have to be able to see both the head and the spine of the fish to know that it's a kosher fish. Rav Nachman Omar, he says, O Rosh, O Shidra. Rav Nachman is, it's more makel in this particular case. He says either the head or the spine. So, Nasav Rav Ukva Bar Chava. So, Rav Ukva Bar Chava asks the Kasha about this. He says, Uvidogim, look, what does the Torah say about fish? Right? Torah, does it mention spine? Does it mention the head of the fish? Does it mention that? What does the Torah say? It says, Kol Sheyesh Lo Snapi Bekas Keses. Torah says, well, the kosher fish is one which has, fins and scales, right? So Amar Abaye said, Kitanya hahi the ara of Falbut, the Dhamma Rishayo the Tibayin. So Abaye said the kasha that the problem that exists with two types of fish. One is called an ara and the other one is called a palbuta. So, in either case, apparently, he says, their heads look like the heads of a tretha fish. Now, needless to say, there are problems connected with this. I don't have to tell you. Because the implication would be that all the tretha fish have, let's say, a narrow head. And so therefore, these two fish, even though they're kosher, but because they have narrow heads, we might think, you know, that they're treif.
Well, they're bringing a third.
Right.
The Torah doesn't say anything about a head.
The Torah doesn't mention that. Right.
So why are they bringing in a third condition?
Because they want to make sure that the fish that you eat is definitely kosher. You may not be such an expert at recognizing it, so fins and scales should, to that you should add also, do you recognize the head and the spine also? That should be characteristic of a kosher fish. This is what they're saying, okay? In other words, they're adding to the simanim that the Torah gave. Okay.
You know, but if we're talking about, say, herring that has been cut in pieces, now
we're
talking about whole things. If
right.
cut in pieces, there's no head, there's no tail, there's no
fins, there's no scale.
Right.
Correct. Now have a spine.
We're talking about whole things.
To begin with, the fish did have a spine. So fresh. I mean, you take a look. Right.
Last fish, Mike Gamora says that they're called, one is a skate, the other is a honey.
A skate, and what's the other one?
Honeyfish.
There they is. I know what it is. We need a fish expert over here.
Alright.
By the way, you know, going back to the old it says that there was originally two fish, and one jumped out, and left one in the barrel. So that's how you got to tell whether it's kosher or not.
The real word is skate and pelamis. P-E-L-A-M-Y-S. That's the name of the fish.
Oh, so does that. I mean, as I say, I don't know what it even looks like.
Yeah.
Right. I have complete ignorance in this matter. What can I do? I can only tell you what the Gemara says, but I can't tell you exactly. I don't have a picture of it.
Yeah.
All right. Omer Rav Yehuda b'shmei d'ulo. So Rav Yehuda said in the name of Ulo, he says, Machloikas l'tabir b'tzirat abu. All right. Machloikas comes if simply you're dipping into the brine of these fish. Abol b'gufan, but as far as the fish themselves are concerned, divrei hakol. Everybody is in agreement, he says, that also, it is prohibited until you can recognize the head and the spine. So as I said, obviously they feel that you have to have even stricter standards, you know, than simply the scales.
What is
the fins and the scales?
Brine. Yeah, what's it?
Apparently, you like the brine of fish. I mean, what am I going to tell you?
So the dispute concerns that
Somebody dips a piece of bread, let's say, into it.
Not permitted to dip something in their brine.
Right, right.
So how do you recognize, what's there about a spine?
Take a piece of holly and dip it into the brine.
So you know what you're saying is that might introduce some non-kosher factor into the brine?
What it might be is you don't know this fish because you can't recognize its head and its spine.
I see.
Okay? So that therefore you don't know what kind. I mean, look, we have jars, and we have the jars with a heksher on it and so on. But let's say that there were no label on it, okay?
Would
we know?
Sure, that's right.
Yeah.
What is this? What do they see about the spine? It's a whole fish.
Yeah.
So what is it about?
The presumption is that a kosher fish has a recognizable spine, and a trefa fish doesn't. But I don't have to tell you that it's not 100% true. Right. It's not 100% true. So that's why, I mean, you still have to go back again to does it have fins and scales. Just from the head and the spine, it's not enough. Okay.
No, these are live fish. If they're talking about the fish, we're talking about fish that is
right.
Right.
Not
necessarily.
Saltwater fish, except the brine.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. And then we'll go a couple of more lines and call it a night, okay?
Sure.
I'm a Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira said, Meiresh, to begin with, Avimat Bilna Batsiran. I used to dip it into the brine, right? And gave in the Shemana, Lahot, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Bishmei Deula. But once I heard this statement of Rabbi Yehuda, quoting the name of Ula, that Machlokes, the Tavu Batsua, that the Machlokes is whether you're permitted to dip into the brine, right? But Avol, the Gufa Nivea Kol Osur, but all the authorities are in agreement that it's Osur Achehe Rosh Rashed Odekor, right? When it comes to the fish itself, right, it is prohibited unless you can actually recognize the head and the spine.
Right.
So, in that case, he says, I decided, but Sira Dame Loibat Builder, I decided not to dip into the brine. So, Omar Rab Papa said, Hilchasa, the halacha is Achehe Rosh Rashidro Dikar. That the head and the spine have to be recognizable. Shall call achas be achas of each and every fish. Now, of each and every fish means that, for example, if you have a barrel of fish which contain different things, you have to examine each and every one to make sure that it is a kosher fish. All right, I think I'll stop at this point tonight. Right. All right, tonight is the first day of February, the year 2006, and we are continuing on Avodah Zarah, Daf Mem, Omid Aleph.
The fish story.
I was still busy with fish. Right. Okay.
It's a fishy story, I'm sorry.
Right. Okay, so basically, so now I ask Akasha about this. All right, I ask the question. Yes. It says, Chasicha sheyesh bahen siman. All right, you have pieces of fish. It's cut up pieces of fish, right? Slices, whatever you want. Cut up pieces. Sheyesh bahen siman, right? And they have kashrus signs, bein b'chulon, bein m'mitzasam. In some cases, among all, every fish has it. And in some cases, only some of the fish have it. Okay?
Like a plumber.
Right. It's not necessarily a plumber. The point is, you should be able to see the scales at least or something like that. Right?
The sign. What the sign is.
Right. And also it has, you know, let's say, a spine, I mean, that you can recognize. Okay. But anyway, certainly as far as scales are concerned. Right. Ba'athilu, and even if it is be'echot b'meyam, that there is one among 100, shebohen, kulan mutoms. Okay, as long as you have among this barrel, let's say, that's full of fish, right? And the various pieces have signs that they are kosher, so whether each and every one has it, or whether only some of them. And even, he says, even if only, let's say, there are 100 pieces and only one of them has it, so
has what? The
signs that it's kosher, then they are all of them permitted to be eaten.
Oh, that's
very
lenient.
It's extremely, extremely liberal.
That's like
what
we learned in Bava Metzia.
So then they make the assumption, it goes on the assumption.
Yeah.
But if you have three pieces of meat and two are kosher and one is not kosher, and they get mixed up, all three are kosher, right?
Right. I mean, that's a question of Ruba, right? Ruba the Polish Ruba.
Right.
In other words, you go by the majority.
So it's the same kind of.
Yeah,
kind of,
but here it says even more than 100. That's one out of 100. But we presume, we have to presume that these are kosher fish. However, remember, this is a contradiction to what? To where we said that you have to examine each and every fish, correct? So it's a contradiction. Yes.
These purposes, what are the kosher things? Fins and scales? What are they determined?
According to the Torah, it's the fins and the scales.
Right.
According to the rabbis, they added also the head and the spine. And that's what we discussed the other week. Problem with the head is that there are also, you know, some trefa fish that resemble kosher fish. You understand? And even with a spine, there may be kosher, maybe trifle fish that resemble kosher fish. So that's the reason why we have to go back essentially to the Torah, namely to say fins and scales.
Well, I mean, if you don't have the head,
right?
Okay, you don't have the spine,
right?
You see this fins and scales, so it's kosher, right?
Right, it's correct.
But if you don't have the fins and scales, all you have is the rest of it, then how do you know?
You don't have the head, that's fine.
Right.
But the head and the spine don't count, do they?
The head and the spine will count if you have somebody who's expert enough in knowing, you know, where they're from. And this is the problem with all these fish over here, that you have to have somebody who knows what they're all about, you know.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So this is a contradiction to what we had just a moment ago. So he says, Amase, and he brings out the point that he just made by telling you about a story. Amaisa, right. Amaisa b'evet kechav echot, right, that there was a certain idolater, a certain goy, shehevi gorov shel chasiches, right, he brought a barrel full of pieces of fish, right, v'nimtso simen b'yachas behem, and there was found a simen of kashrus in one of these pieces, v'hita rabbi shem gamaliel es hagora, right, so es hagora kulo, okay, and so Rabbi Shimon Leo gave permission that you could eat the fish, you know, all the fish that are in this particular barrel, okay, right. So far it looks, you know, that imagine. What if chas v'shalom? I mean, there are pieces of fish
that are not
kosher. How could he do something like that? So Tigula Rapapa comes along with an explanation. He says, wait a minute, this is how we have to understand the bison. Okay?
Yeah.
It says, Keshe ha-chasichos shovos. It says, when we see that the pieces of that are there in the barrel, literally are equal, are alike, they match.
Like
so Rashi explains, and we have to go upon, you know, Rashi's opinion over here, and according to Rashi, he says that, let's see, right, here we are, all right. He says, Shem, that if you would put all the pieces of fish together, then then you would be able to recognize that all these pieces are really from only one fish. So that's all these, they all came from the same fish, right? You can reconstruct it, right? Put it together, right? Exactly. So then you can see that it's a kosher fish. So, Ihochi, if this is the case, says the Gemara, my lememra, what if we say, Mahu the Tema, what if you should say, Nichush Dilmas Rame? We should be suspicious, even in such a case, that maybe something else was added to it. In other words, a trefeth piece was added, to the kosher ones. So, kamosh malon, from this we learn that you can trust that if you can reconstruct them all and you see that they form a perfect fish.
That case you don't have to worry. So
right.
Right.
Wouldn't this be to discourage anybody? Discourage anyone? They would sooner say, "Oh, it must be. I'm not going to bother. It must be not kosher."
You can very well assume that, right?
Yeah, because it's like making it difficult for them. You know, they
yes.
have to put the pieces together and make a whole fish.
Right.
They'd rather buy a new fish.
Right. Right.
It's kosher.
Look, I'm not denying that fact. The fact is that this is the Maaseh. He tells the story. I mean, what happened? And he saw in that particular case, it was permitted. But why was it permitted? Because, according to Rav Papa, when you examine it further, if you can put all the pieces together to form the same fish, None of that case. It's
the Gemara is explaining what Rabbi
right.
Gamliel did.
Yeah.
Rabbi Shimon ben
Gamliel.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
this is what Rabbi Papa is saying. Right.
It might only have been in two halves.
Anyway.
Come right down to it.
Oh, yeah,
well, it doesn't say. Right. We have no idea. Right. That doesn't specify.
Yeah.
With Mashi, you already have a different problem. I mean, you know.
They say the Haredi people would need the fish anyway.
Yeah, that was my conclusion.
Okay.
A hundred things wrong with it. They could have
right.
wine that we've been talking about.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Right. Okay. All right, we'll see. This is not such,
I don't know.
This is
not
such a glut, you know. There are problems,
very,
right?
Very discerning.
Right. Right. That old joke about the man the teller that was asked to see if there were $100 in a pile. He was given a. You never heard this story?
No.
I'm wasting your time. A banker goes to a teller and says, count and see that there are $100. They're like $101 in this thing. The teller goes ahead and he gets to number 68. He says, I already have 68. There must be 100.
Yeah.
This is what this story reminds
right.
me of.
I'd like to give him a bottle of 100 that way.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So anyway, we continue with the story of the fish. Okay? Yeah, we're still dealing with fish on this particular daf, okay? Hahu arva v'tzachanta, the osi the sikra. All right. There was a certain fish. Excuse me, a certain boat. I'm running ahead. My mind is already ahead. Tzachanta again is one of these fish that we don't know. Your kosher, this kosher, or something like that. Okay.
Doesn't exist anymore.
I can't tell you exactly what it is. I'm not an expert on fish.
No, it doesn't exist.
I don't know. It could exist. But the point is, you know, with these Aramaic terms, these are terms that they knew in Babylonia. But. You know, at this point, we're sort of guessing, you know, as to what exactly they are.
Where is Sifra?
Huh?
Where is Sifra?
Someplace in Babylonia. Obviously, it must have been had either a river or a harbor or something over there, because the ship came with fish. Okay.
It's really interesting.
Right.
Sifra has, my daughter's interested in Sephardi food.
Yeah.
And some of the fish and some of the things that we've been talking about were actually foods that were, you know, were eaten in sort of modern, I mean, within the last 100 years.
Yeah.
In some of the Sephardic countries like Iraq or Asia, or all these.
Right, I mean, they have, you know, they have a Masoris, you know, they have a tradition about some of these things.
The syrup that we were talking about a few weeks ago, all of these things are still part of Sephardic.
Yeah.
Well, that's the whole point, is that when they came there, they found all of these things. They came to Babylonia. They found all of these species that they had never met before. So that required them to examine how it
true enough.
Good in terms of consciousness.
True enough, right.
So it isn't a surprise that they should still be there.
Right. Okay, so anyway, here is a fish that arrives, you know, with here is a boat that comes loaded with fish. All right. So Novak Rav Huna Bar Chidino, went out the Chozabe Kalfe, and he saw that there were scales. I assume he means scales on the on the boat or something like that. Okay. You know, that the boat, let's say you can find scales all over the floor of the boat or something like that, okay? Doesn't say that it came in barrels. I mean, for all I know, they might have simply thrown in the fish inside over there. And they're right. Bisharye, so he permitted it to be eaten, all right? So this is about Rav Huna Bar Chinina. So Amalei Rova, so Rova said to him, obviously Rava objects to this idea. He says, "Well, me ikar the shorik ha'gavda." He says, "Is there anyone?" He says, "who actually permits a fish to be eaten in this manner be'aswa the shechi kalfe, in a place where there are lots of scales around?" In other words, these things, you know, that you have to examine, you know, the fish much more carefully, instead of, because if you see scales over there, so you assume, you know, that the fish rubbed off the scales while they were lying over there on the floor or something like that, okay? As Rashi says, the Yeshlomar, it's possible to say, Shema Dogim Tahirindut Mayim Yesh. Maybe, according to Rav Papa, right? You have both kosher and trefa fish over there in this boat. The kashkaskim min hataherbo, and the scales came from the kosher fish. But if you don't examine, you know, the fish, each and every one of them, it could be, you know, that the Rav Huna is permitting the use of fish indiscriminately, simply because he saw scales over there. So Rav Papa objects to that. Okay.
Nafak
means goes out.
Yeti.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. He went out. Okay. Nafak. Right.
Yeah, the, yeah. In Hawaii, there's that yeah. problem because they sell this thing called mahi mahi.
Sure.
And they tell you, it turns out that mostly it's dolphin, it's not tuna.
Oh. Uh-huh.
They sometimes sell it. The mahi mahi is supposed to be like dolphin.
Uh huh.
Not
well, in that case, definitely not, because a dolphin is a mammal.
It's a mammal.
Right, right. It's not a fish. Yeah.
They used to be yeah. have a problem with the tuna catching
right.
dolphin in the tuna.
Yeah, correct, yeah. correct.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why you have to look through your
yeah. do that something, yeah.
Right. So, as a result, Nofak Shipure de Rova, the Osar. Shipure literally means chauffeurs, okay, in Arabic, okay? But, unlike Hebrew, I mean, Hebrew, the word shipur means sort of improvement. Right, yeah. But in Aramaic, you know, it's Aramaic, which is the word chauffeur, all right. But what does he mean by chauffeurs? He means that, you know, people would make public announcements about his decrees, and in order to call attention, they would blow a chauffeur, and when they blew the chauffeur, so then, you know, people knew that they had to listen to a public announcement.
Right,
public announcement,
yeah.
Okay. So, Rava, what did he do? He sent out, in other words, his people to announce the fact that this fish is not kosher,
it's
not to be used. No, Rava is opposed to it.
He committed it.
No. It wasn't Rav who permitted it. It was Rav Huna Bar Chinuno who permitted it. Right. No, we got to get the right parties.
Okay.
All right. So I finished up with this. Okay.
Who are you talking about now?
Rav went out, right? He sent out his emissaries to say that this fish is not to be used.
Prohibited.
Well, osar. He said it's osar. So, on the other hand, Shipuri the Rav Huna Bar Chinuno Vishori. All right? So, in other words, Rav Huna Bar Chinuno, he sent out his people to say that it's kosher. So this is already a big, big problem when you have a rabbi who says, not my rabbi, a great authority who says that it's kosher, and another great authority says that it's straight.
Are these both great authorities?
Right. Yeah, Papa definitely. Papa. But Rav Huna too, of course. There are several rabbis probably by the name of Rav Huna. This is Rav Huna Bar Chinuno. That's why they give his father's name. Because usually you simply have Rav Huna.
Loads of Rav Huna.
Okay.
We don't know how reliable this guy Bar Chinuno
is. Yeah. There's a lot of puppets too. Puppet.
Yes. Yeah, he had a lot of sons.
Yeah.
So, right.
All right. Well, now we're going
to
get
solved with Rav Ashi. So, right. Okay. Sorry. Omar Rav Yirmiyahu ben Difti. So Rav Yirmiyahu Difti said, Didi Omar Li, Rav Poppy. Says Rav Poppy said to me specifically, he said, Kishora Rav Huna Bar Chinano, what Rav Huna Bar Chinano had permitted was only Betziron, the brine that the fish were in. They permitted the brine. The brine, right.
We learned a while back that the brine was permitted.
Yes, in many cases. It's correct, all right.
Why would he permit the brine?
The way people used to like to dip.
No, that's not what I mean.
They dipped into the brine. They dipped bread into the brine, okay? Gave them a little taste. But we use peanut butter, but they use brine.
That's my point. That's my point. It's not why the brine was desirable. How
why
could he permit it?
Right,
brine,
right.
The non-kosher fish were in it.
Right.
Yeah.
This it evidently doesn't
the strength of the salt,
I think.
Yeah. They see, in other words, with the brine, obviously, it is not exactly the same category as the flesh of the fish itself.
As the what?
As the flesh of the fish
brine.
Itself. The brine, right. Yeah.
They must have felt that it had some effect on the...
Well, they liked it, but the question is also, I mean, was it adulterated in any way, or did it... It's a problem.
Yeah.
It is a problem because, as a general rule, we say that what comes from a trefa animal is trefa. Okay,
it's a
right.
The brine, they may have considered that there's something about the chemical action of the brine
right.
that would kill whatever was not kosher there.
You mean the
right.
salt? The salt would
salt
kill off
whatever.
The...
Yeah, could very well be. Could be.
It's an argument.
Right.
It seems
right.
to me that the salt would draw the juices out
I don't know.
Yeah.
into the solution.
Yeah. Okay.
Isn't it to preserve the fish
that
they use the brine?
Yeah, obviously, right.
Sure, because
absolutely.
They came in off the. That's
absolutely.
How they kept the
right,
fish to
right, right, to keep it.
They
right.
They didn't have
right.
Right.
No.
Right.
No. So, but it says, "Aval b'gufon lo." In other words, the permission that was given by Rav Huna did not apply to the actual fish itself. Literally to the body, right? To the fish itself it did not apply. So Omar Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi said, Didi Omani Rav Papa, right? Says Rav Papa told me in person, he says, that Kishara Rav Huna Bachinino, that no, Rav Huna Bar Chinano, when he gave permission, it's afilu begufon. It is even with the fish itself, not the brine. The yana lo mesa asmino, right? But I, he says, did not the one who's telling the story right now.
It was
Rav Ashi. He says, I personally, he says, lo mesar svina, right? I would not say that it is prohibited. Diko mali Rav Papa, which is what Rav Papa said to me, right? Velo mishra sharnina, but by the same token, he says, I wouldn't say also that it is permissible. Diko mali Rav Yehuda mishmei deula, because Rav Yehuda said to me, in the name of Ula, that machlekes the tabel mitzira, tabel beguf and nirekol, right? That the machlekes, the difference of opinion is only as far as the brine. Are you permitted to dip in the brine or not? But when it comes to the fish itself, the actual fish, nirei hakol, everybody is in agreement. Ad shehei rosh v'shedra nikar shekol echot v'yechot. You cannot eat it until you see the head and the spine of each and every fish.
So what is our practice today? Do we only look for fins and scales, or do we also have to look for the skeleton?
Well,
and
no, our practice is still, I mean, that we go by the biblical one about
biblical,
fins and
right.
scales, right. But noch besser, I mean, if you can apply the the head and the spine, you can take a look and see also.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, can I ask a question?
Sure.
You don't know, you said you're not an authority on fish.
Right.
they say that a non-kosher fish could look like a kosher fish.
That's a possibility, sure. Right.
So the bottom line would have to be the fins and scales.
Right.
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 The bottom line. Because if you had just the... You can't go just by the head and the ear and the spine.
Right.
No, I'm thinking of the
swordfish.
The swordfish is what I was thinking of.
Either the fins or the scales at the end of its life scheme or something.
It probably is the scales.
There are different species.
It's probably scales that doesn't have. Right. Yeah.
Different species.
It has that
right.
At some point in its life, not the whole life cycle.
Right. I mean, it's the same question about sturgeon.
Catfish, what?
No, that definitely is considered trade.
I know everybody hates it, but
yeah,
why?
Exactly.
I'm just looking
for it's considered trade. I don't know.
No one knows.
It
doesn't have scales at all.
No,
okay. All right.
Yeah. Odd meus kite.
A great delicacy.
The South, I know they love
it.
But we're up north over here.
But
we have better taste.
A lot of black owned restaurants feature.
Yeah, right. Because, it's sort of the part of the southern.
All the southern.
Right, I mean,
cuisine.
Right, exactly. All right. Gain Weiter. Okay. Yeah. Yasev Rav Chinino Bar Idi Kamei the Ravoda Baraham. All right. Yeah, it's the second long line. All right. Yeah. So Rav Chinino, the son of Idi, was sitting in front of Rav Ada Baraham. Okay. The Yasev and he sat the Omar, and he recited the following halacha that he had heard. He heard that Oved Kechovit, that if there's an idolater. Shehevi Areva Malaya Chavias. This time we're talking about an idolater who brought a small boat which is full of barrels. Okay? The Nim says Kilbis Beachas Behen, right? And he found Kilbis in one of them and it's Besuchas and it was open. So he says Kula Mutorin, then they are all permitted. And stumos, he muteris becholonasuris. But if the barrels are closed, then only the barrel which contains the kilbis is kosher, and the others presumably are treif. Okay? This is what I said. First of all, I want to remind him of his whole question about kilbis. It's the kind of a fish that grows only in kosher atmosphere, if you remember, right?
Yeah.
And then one of them said that if it's open, one fish is not enough because it might have fallen in from the outside.
Yeah.
So you have to have at least two of them in the open one. So whereas if it's sealed, then in that case, and you find kilbis when you open it up, then in that particular case, then you know that it's kosher. This is what he said. Okay, so here we see that he's saying that if you find kilbis in one of them and it's open, then presumably they're all okay, but if they're closed, then only that one is. I'll be honest with you, I don't understand this myself, because I would think just the opposite.
Right.
That the open ones, they're more suspect than something which is closed.
Right.
But, okay. This is what he has to say, anyway.
Yeah, it's almost
right.
The opposite of
what. Right. So Amalei, so he said to him, Menor lechoha, so tell me, how did you get this idea? So he says, what do you mean? Mitlasa karei shabiyali. He says, I heard it from three great sources, three great rabbis, each of whom has the same authority as the Torah itself. Oh. Namely, who did he hear it from? He heard it from Meirav, from Rav, Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan. They're all great authorities, and I have to tell you, it says they're all in agreement with, this is what I heard from them. Well, all right. I still don't know what a kilbis looks like.
Yeah, that means it doesn't mean personally from them, but that it was passed down from their mouth.
Right, right, right.
They lived long ago.
Of course they did.
This,
right.
When this was written, they lived.
Well, Rav and Shmuel probably were just maybe a generation before him or something like that. But Rabbi Yochanan, he was in Eretz Yisrael. Approximately contemporary, right? Okay. Omar Rav. So Rav says, here it says Rav Bruno, others say it's Rav Kahana, according to the marginal note over there. Omar Rav, who said it in the name of Rav, he says, Kirve dogim, the boron, ein nikochen elo min hamuncha. All right, kirve dogim would mean the insides of a fish. I don't know who likes to eat it. I mean, usually you cut it out and throw it away or something like that. But apparently some people liked it. Okay. And so he says the insides of a fish, right, the uboron. Ibor, of course, you recognize that's the word literally for pregnancy, okay? But what does it mean? He means over here the roe of the fish. Okay, the roe. All right, so he says, Ein nikochem, you cannot buy it, elo min hamumcha. You can only buy it from somebody who is an expert. What does he mean, an expert? He means, you know, somebody who knows his fish and who has a reputation for being kosher, right? So that you know that these things came from a kosher fish.
And we're talking about the roe.
Right.
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 And sometimes they had the chicken had a little egg. So
right.
I'm paranoid.
Yeah, but
my grandmother, who was certainly very careful.
Right.
Her
face, right.
She would often. I was the one who got these.
Unless I remember my own mother too, when she.
I got the roe and I got the little eggs from inside.
Right, right, right.
That was special.
Pardon me?
They kosher the chicken.
Right. But I remember my mother used to give it to me too.
I lived with my mother. My grandchild. My mother had died, so they were caring for me, so those delicacies, no question about it.
From a practical point of view today, the roe we know is what they use for caviar. Okay? So the question is, what is kosher caviar and what is strefa caviar? The answer is that if you have the roe of a sturgeon, we say that that's strefa. We don't accept that. What do we accept? For example, the roe of a salmon, which being a kosher fish, so the roe.
The roe of salmon.
Right.
A little red.
Yes. Yeah, reddish or something like that. Right. Right.
They're bigger than the roe.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're saltier. Usually, I don't know why that is.
They sell it.
Right.
And they're much, much cheaper, obviously.
I can remember eating it.
So right. But very much so.
Yeah. I know with Shea Joseph, when I used to be the mashgiach over there, so, I made sure that if people wanted caviar, I mean, that it came specifically from kosher fish. Okay. So, they can only be bought from somebody who is a mumche, right? As we said, mumche is somebody who is like certified, you know, that he's kosher. Right. So, Rabbi Le Ula Rav Dostai, the Minbiri, it says. So, Ula asked the Kasha of the Rabbi Dostai who came from Biri. Midika Omar Rav, Let's get back to the statement that Rav made, that what? That kirve dogim v'yuborin ein nikochen elemen amabchev, right? That the innards and the roe of fish can only be bought from somebody who is a mumchev. So he says miklal, and then that means that the general rule is the dog tome, that a tray for fish is the ubar. You can also have roe inside of it. You understand? So, if that's the case, then what? So, v'raminhu, and we have somebody who came up with a contradictory statement, which said, dog tome mashritz, and dog tohor matul beitzim. Well, let's take a look what Rashi has to say over there. It says, okay. It says, dog tome, it says, mashritz. See the word mashritz? And this margin, you'll see Tosefta go down two lines over there. Right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So, mashritz, he says, dog atzbo bime'e imo. This implies that with a treif of fish, the fish grows by itself inside, you know, the mother fish, and there are no eggs involved in it. This is what he's saying. You understand? This is what he's saying.
That's like a mammal.
Whatever, right.
Yeah,
right.
Like a...
Azay Zokta, okay? All right. Right. Whereas, he says, dog tahor, a kosher fish, he says, is matul beitzim. They have eggs. Okay, of course, the eggs are what we call the roe. Okay?
Oh, I see.
So, in that case, he says, sabay mikan ubaron. Then in that case, remove this business about the roe, because if you can't tell the difference, you know, you're trying to imply that the treif of fish doesn't, you know,
doesn't
have eggs. So what do you need it for? So Omalei, Rab Zera said to him, he says, Lot Same.
Excuse me. Losing my voice already. All right.
Well, get down to the bottom of the page or something. Then we'll stop
put
at that point. Sorry.
Some water?
Right. No, I'll be all right. No, just rest my voice for a moment. I'll be okay.
Yeah.
All right, so Rab Zera says to him, no, he says, don't remove it. Why? Because he says, Tarvaihu, both treifa fish and kosher fish, he says, Matile Beitzim Nino. They all lay eggs, okay? But what is the difference? Elezer mashritz mibachutz, Elezer mashritz mibifnim. Difference is, he says, that a treifa fish, the eggs are on the outside. On the outside, okay?
He's talking about the expert is saying.
Right. Well, that's what Rabbi Zera is saying, okay? The eggs are on the outside of a treifa fish. Whereas,
outside,
in other words,
it's a very peculiar fish. All right, no.
That's what he says, right. Okay. Whereas, in other words, the kosher fish, he says, is mashritz bifnim. Where do we find the eggs? We find it inside the body.
Kosher fish.
Right. So, he asks him a question, he says, Lomali mumche livdok basimonim. So, if we can easily see, in other words, whether the eggs are on the outside or the inside, so why do we need an expert for these things, right?
Okay.
So he says, the Tanya, because we have learned the Gemara, which says, Kesimonei beitzim kach simonei dogim. Says just as you have certain indications, certain simonim, certain indications concerning the eggs, whether the eggs are, let's say, the eggs of a fowl in kosher, or are they the eggs of the, you know, let's say a treif of bird or something like that, a wild bird, you understand, which do not resemble a kosher fish, right? So he's saying
bird,
that
eggs of bird and eggs of fish are two different things entirely.
But he's saying, the Gemara says that the same simonim that we see as far as the eggs of birds, you know, the kosher versus the treif. So the same thing is also true, he says, concerning the eggs of fish.
Are
they
zokta? Okay. They don't look alike. Right. Some way they don't look alike. Kosher versus
kosher. So, okay. So, excuse me. I mean, it says this is the same signs for fish. So they immediately say, what do you mean? Simone dogim salkadate? Talking about signs of kosher fish? Simone dogim. We know, how do I recognize a kosher fish? It's not bivikaskesis, right? That it has fins and scales, right? Kesimbehu, this is what the Torah says. Ele besimone beitzim, kach simone uvare dogim. So this is what he meant to say, that just as among eggs of birds versus those of fowl, right? So likewise, we have similar characteristics as far as the row of fish. The Elohein, Simone Basin, all right? And these are the signs whereby we can recognize from the egg whether it's a kosher egg, right? Or whether
no
it's
birds,
a
no.
trefa one. Going back to the birds, right?
So
we're
suddenly mixing in
right.
birds now.
Right,
talking
right,
fish
right.
All along
right.
And now it's all
right. What is he? Which is he talking about now when he starts to describe the ball-like and round eggs?
Have you ever seen the eggs of birds? Not talking about the chickens. They're round and so on, right? Okay. Have you ever seen the eggs of turtles?
No.
Turtles?
Yeah. They lay eggs.
Yeah,
well,
they're
also
birds.
Round.
They're
no.
They're reptiles.
Right? They're reptiles, right, but they also lay eggs.
Yeah,
right, okay. They're round. They're not like the eggs of a chicken or a duck or something like that, right? So, the simony says, here, the simony. First of all, called Shekoderis Vagulgelis. Rosho Echad. All right? As Rashi explains, Shekoderis, it says, Meshucha, it's drawn out. Okay? Sherechava Berosho, he says, one head of the egg is wide, right? And as it goes along, it gets shorter and shorter. Okay? Narrow, narrow. Right, exactly. So, from that, you can recognize that this is what? It's a kosher egg. Okay? Yes. Okay. Rosh, you know, on one head, as I say, is rounded. Okay. Okay, he says, in other words, Rosha Echad is Kad, Rosha Echad is Chad. One head, in other words, one end of the chicken, right, is wide, okay? Right, it's wider. And, on the other hand, the other end of the egg is narrow, right? So we know that this is tahora, okay? It's kosher. Beis beisim. All right, they have two eggs.
Right, you're right. This is.
Yeah, okay. It says, they have two eggs. Kol she koderes v'agugeles, rosh ha'echod, kad, v'rosh ha'echod, kad, tahora. They have two different eggs. One of them has all these simonim, that it's wide at one end and narrow at the other end, so you know that's kosher. Okay? But if it has beis rosheha chadin, or beis rosheha kadin, if you have an egg which is narrow on both ends, right? Or it's flat in both ends, right? Then we know that it is tomato. Then we know that this is a non-kosher egg. Another simon?
So in other words, the eggs are more regular.
Right. Correct. What if you have chelmon mibachutz v'chelbo mimifdin? The chelmon is the yellow part of the egg, right?
The yolk, right?
And the chelbon is the white part of the egg. Okay? So, if you open up the egg and you see what? That the yellow is on the outside, whereas the white is on the inside. And in that particular case, it's tamea. It's a sign that it's a trefa egg. Okay?
The chelbon is on the inside?
No, chelbon is on the outside. And the chelbon, I say, it's yellow on the outside and white inside, and it's treif, tamea. Okay? But chelbon mibachutz, if the white is on the outside, the chelmon mibifnim, and the yellow is on the inside, then in that particular case, tohor, this is a kosher egg. Okay? Chelbon the chelmon the rovin zebazer, what if they have an egg where it's, you can't tell the difference, I mean, they're both mixed up together? Zuhi beitzas hasheretz. This is the kind of an egg that a reptile lays, okay? In other words, a turtle or something like that, okay? Or a bat, according to Rashi, also. Well, at all, right? So on, so forth. So
a
bat, you know.
That's a mammal, then.
Yeah. Granted. In any case, it ain't kosher. Okay. All right. All right. So, so Amar Rava. So Rava said, Shalimochu, right? So Rava says, when these things get softened up and mixed together and so on, this is where it's hard to tell. And this is why what? This is why you need, in the case of the fish, you're selling the innards of the fish, or the roe, you need an expert, because it is possible that, you know, it gets mushy or something or other, and you don't know what it looks like. Okay. All right, I'm going to stop at this particular point. Just have a couple of words. Rabbi Dostai the Minbiri, and then getting back to Rabbi Dostai from Biri, the Omar Sabe Mikan Umoran, it says, you know, take out from the statement, from the tradition that you had about the roe. The Hotanya, so we have learned that Kisimone Beitzim Kach Simone Uvore Dogim. Okay. All right.
Do you believe that? Not kosher fish do not produce eggs at all?
Do I believe it? No, I think he's wrong. But he was not an expert on fish. Okay. All right, so tonight is the 8th of February in the year 2006, and we are now in Avodah Zorah, Daf Mem, Omid Beis, in other words, 40b.
Right.
And we've already did one line so far. All right. So now, they question this last statement. I mean, that just as, you know, the signs for identifying, you know, a kosher egg, it applies likewise to identifying the kosher roe or not. Okay. So it says, Lav tirutzim b'tarezis lo. Isn't this how you're trying to explain it? Namely, that kach simone kirve dogim, right? We're trying to figure out, you know, what the innards of the fish. Remember, we said that the guy sells a fish, he takes out the innards, and he sells that too. I mean, we wouldn't think of it.
Yeah.
But I suppose that, you know, no. Some people, who
the
knows, in those days.
The
yes, of course. So it says, "Vehechem mishkachas lo, vehechem mishkachas b'simonei kivei dogim sheyehe kad v'chad." So he says, "Tell me, where, if you take a look in the insides of the fish, where do you find that it looks, you know, sharp at one end, flat or end at the other end?" Right?
But that was supposed to apply to birds, not fish.
Yeah, right, correct. But it's
he's
mishing in because take a look at the top line, right? That there's a tradition. One of the Tanoim said that the Kesimone Basim, Kasimone Uvre Dogim, right? That the row, right, the same simon, right, the same way to identify a kosher egg. Likewise is the way that you identify kosher roe. So he wants to know, and then he says the rule really should apply to what? To the inner parts of the fish, right? And then he says, so tell me, where do you find that the inner parts of a fish that you have, you know, that you have cod for cod, you know, that you have flat and so on and so forth. So he says, yeah, there was one part in the organs of the fish where you could find it. Where is it? He says, Bishulbucha, right. In other words, the bladder. In the bladder of the fish,
yeah.
You can find it. All right.
Yeah, but that's really...
Needless to say, I mean, I don't think any of us would eat the kishkas of a fish these days.
Well, when you eat smelts, you don't gut them, you eat them whole.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Bones and all.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time that I ate it. It smelled.
That's part. That's part.
Okay. Yeah. All right. At any rate.
All right.
Then they go back again, you know, to something that was said on the previous page, the previous side of the page, okay? Which says that if going to buy roe, you should buy it from whom? From a mumcha, somebody who you know is reliable. He's an expert and you can rely upon him. So now they ask the following question. Right. Im ein shom mumcha mai, and what? When you want to buy it and you don't have someone you know who you feel is qualified,
you don't buy it.
What should you do? So Omar Rav Yehuda said, well, kaven de Omar ani malachtin mutarin. Rav Yehuda is very liberal over here. He says, if the man who is selling the fish, and you know that he is a final yid, even though he may not be an expert in telling, but if he says, look, I salted it personally, so we can rely upon his word, because, in other words, what is he going to salt? He's going to salt kosher fish, not trefa fish. Right. So, if he says so, then in that particular case, you are permitted to use it. Of course, I mean, what are we problem? The problem is this kirve, you know, the inner part. Because it says also that they can be nimochu, they can be all crushed and mixed together and so on. So that it becomes a little difficult to identify, okay? That's why you have to have somebody whom you can trust, you know, to say that this is only kosher fish, that's all that I use. I don't use trefa fish. Rav Nachman Amar, Ad Sheyomar Elu Dogim Ve'Elu Kireihem. Okay? So Rav Nachman disagrees with Rav Yehuda. He says, you cannot accept the word of the person who's selling until he says, what? Here are the fish that I use. In other words, he shows you the fish, and here, these are the insides of the fish that I used. Okay? So they conclude by telling a story. The story is Rav Yehuda was making a dinner for somebody or other, a group of, presumably Talmidei Chachamim, right? And he had a dayala. Today, the word dayala in Hebrew means a steward or a stewardess. A steward. No, on an airplane, the dayala. The dayala, a steward, okay? But here it means, somebody who's in the kitchen and who helps to serve and so on. Right, right. Yes. So he said to Ada, the steward, he said, Kevin the Omar Ani Malachtim Mutar, he said, you can rely if the man says personally that I was the one who salted these fish, then in that case it is permissible to use these fish. All right. So finally we have finished the fish story. We've gone through God knows what, I mean. Kosher fish, kosher eggs, right? We're not finished yet with kosher grasshoppers,
no,
I think. But it's only incidental with the grasshoppers right now. Okay. Of course, we covered those also in greater depth before. All right. Okay. So, remember we had that plant called Chiltis?
Yeah.
Where it's so tough that you have to cut it as a normal rule. And so therefore they said the goy might be using a trefa knife on it, right? And therefore not to use it, huh? No, it's not fish, it's a vegetable.
Oh, vegetable, really.
It's
yeah.
a kosher
yeah.
vegetable. It's a vegetable, right. But then the Gemara subsequently said that you could use the leaf of it, because the leaf can be pulled away by hand. It does not, in other words, require a knife in order to cut it from the plant. Okay? So, yes. Pardon me? Yeah! Okay. We're on Daf Mem, Amid Days. Right? And we are approximately 8 lines down right now. Okay? Right. The Ola Shel Chiltis. The leaf of the Chiltis, which we said could be eaten. And you don't have to worry about the kashrus of it. Don't have to worry, but we'll see. Maybe we should worry. Pshita, means pashut. Isn't it clear? I mean, well, after all, it's a leaf from a vegetable. Why could you eat it, right? Why do you have to worry about it? So he says, L'ditzricho, he says, you need it in the case as follows. Elo the karten shebo. The karten, apparently, are some kind of drops or seeds or something that could fall on the leaf. Mahu the table. What if you say nichush dilbe ba'isei ba'oribe? That the goy, remember, we're talking about tiltus shel akum, right? What if this goy came and he mixed something? The drops are from not a kosher, the kosher plant, but it's drops from who knows what, right? And mix it, so kabashbanon. Therefore, we learn what? That you don't have to worry about it. It's only the drops is garnished. Drops, what you can do? You can wash it off or something like that, you understand?
Like a 3 pieces of meat, right?
The meat, believe me, is a more difficult problem, than with the leaf of a vegetable. But talking about vegetables, I don't have to tell you. With leaves, you have a big, big problem today.
With what?
Leaves, the leaves of vegetables. I'm talking specifically about such things as, let's say, romaine, lettuce, broccoli, correct. Right, okay. Pardon me?
You don't eat
No, it has something to do with microwaving. No.
So you
the
don't
problem
eat
that you have.
You don't eat romaine.
To kill them.
Do you ever eat romaine lettuce?
Of course, on Pesach, absolutely. My son Michael, or my son-in-law.
Did he ever find a bug?
I don't know whether they ever did, but they take each and every leaf, they soak it, and they examine it, and only after it has passed muster do they use it. And then, very often, they use only certain parts that, are not susceptible to bugs.
Not susceptible to bugs?
Not susceptible. The bugs, in other words, like the leaf, they like the leaf rather than, let's say, the stalk or something like that.
Is there a Gomorrah on the part that's susceptible to the bugs?
No. Not specifically. Not specifically. But, we have the Gomorrah time and again, we have the prohibition of eating what we call a bria. What is a bria? A bria in this particular case means a living creature. Or even a dead creature. You're not allowed to eat a creature. A bug is considered a creature. You understand?
Well, that's why I asked. Did he or you ever find a bug in it?
I haven't. Okay. Yeah, there it's much
the same,
more susceptible.
You do the same
thing
with iceberg lettuce, too?
Well, iceberg lettuce apparently is not affected the same way.
Why not?
Naturally, you're still going to wash it. I mean, you want it to be clean. But apparently they don't, I don't know whether they're more attracted to the romaine leaf or it's more difficult to spot them against the background or something like that.
Okay.
Right.
What are they talking about, drops?
The drops? And it's a good question. Who knows? You see spots or something like that, okay? So the question is, what caused them? That's about all I can say. If it's a drop of water, this is garnished. You understand? But somehow, I mean, something could have been some kind of seeds fall out of it or something like that. Yeah. It's, right. But, I mean, since I don't know what the hiltis is, I don't know whether I've ever in my life seen what a hiltis looks like. So,
broccoli.
Huh? Broccoli is in the same category.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, right.
And Brussels sprouts? Or cabbage?
Could be. Yeah. Yeah. But generally they consider the cabbage is not so susceptible as some of the others. Whether the skin is tougher or something, I don't know. Right. Tighter, at least, I don't know. Right. Yeah. But...
I'll have to take a course in that.
Yeah. This is why you have to be careful with vegetables to make sure that... With these things, I mean, the solid greens, you have to wash them very, very carefully. And if you don't find, anything over there, then let's say you try it, you examine three. After examining three and you don't find anything on either of them, then in that particular case you can rely already that the rest of the batch is kosher.
What are you talking about now?
The leaves of, let's say, an individual plant or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Dark color, like a collard or a kale. It's a really, really dark green. So
right.
It's almost impossible to pick it up.
Right.
The lighter it is.
Yeah, it'll be easier to spot, right. But I don't have to tell you, I mean, that all of a sudden people become so aware of this business. I mean, the business of the New York City water, for example, that some say that the water is treif because it's full of all kinds of microscopic creatures that run around over there.
It's so, like I read an article in the Jerusalem Post that the people of Bnei Brak didn't want to use any water coming from the Kinneret.
Yeah.
Because it was somebody might have dropped some bread in it. So it might be hummus. So they had to import special water for them.
If they worry about microscopic things, they should take a look at
they didn't have it. They had microscopes in those days.
The skin of a human being is loaded with little organisms.
Yeah.
No, you got to accept it for what it
is. Okay, right.
You do the best you can.
The point is, you do the best you can, right? And I hope that the Rebbeinu Shalom will forgive you if you happen to inadvertently eat a bug or something. What can I say?
I mean, if you
where you can see, right, you will inspect and so on.
If you missed it and so on, and you happen to, to eat a couple of ants or something like that.
This is why, even with these even with the pre-cut vegetables that you get in the market today, maybe about 2-3 months ago, some of the great rabbonim in Brooklyn got together and they said, no good. The only thing that they would accept is just the cut-up lettuce.
Cut what?
The cut-up lettuce, yeah. And they said you don't have to worry about the cabbage either or something like that.
Who said
but
that we have to accept their...
But if it has romaine in it...
How do we have to accept their...
Don't
their,
accept
their,
it.
Their Who made them such a poskim?
These are big rabbonim, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Big rabbonim, okay? So... Okay, what can I say? I'm telling you what the situation is today. Right. Unfortunately, right. Life was a lot simpler before they began to look at these things.
Right.
Okay. So, at any rate, all right. So we saw. I mean that.
What the Rebbeinu Shalom thinks about all this.
Right. Okay. So in as much, I mean, as we see, you know, that the quantity. Why do the thing right? Do you do with my spirit? Right. Let's look at Lashbol. Right. Okay. And then, all right. Skip something? No.
Where are we? You go over your Western
Ship. Either my eyes are playing tricks on me or what?
We're talking about.
Right. Here, look at the Ship about these drops and so on. They might mix it. So kamashmal, right? So we learned that you don't have to worry about that. The ishtaruki he the ishtaruk the osa bahada. This is the end of the
so
seeds
what,
on the watchbook.
About wine and so forth.
Hold it. Right.
Huh?
Right. Where did the drops come from?
Oh,
so one,
wine.
No. No, the wine is not involved over here.
No.
But Ishtaruki, he says, they may have dropped the Minho Lin, the Fliasbon, right, that as the leaves dropped into the, into the vessel which you get in, so maybe some of these dots, whatever they are, became dislodged. Nishmatu, they became dislodged. So that's what you worried, right? So maybe it comes simply was there in the Kli itself or something, whatever it is. But since we don't know exactly what is the exact nature that they're talking about, it's so hard to follow. Okay? All right. Then the next thing that they mentioned in the Mishnah was Mezeisei Gluskoyos Haben Gul Golin. Do you remember? This we learned is olives.
Yeah.
Right, that were put into a press, and after a while, they lumped together, so it became, you know, like a cake of olives, right? So, it says, how about them? Why shouldn't we, the Mishnah says you can eat them, right? They're Torah, they're okay. So he says, Pshita, is that obvious? So he says, Leinus before, no, it's not obvious because there is a possibility Afogav the Rofe Tuva, right? That even if they are so soft, now the Tema Chomer Rama Behu, maybe you'll say that, the guy did what? He put wine into it, right? So Kamash Balon, from this, we learn No. Don't have to worry about that, because it says, Hani machmas bishka hu derafa. Says, the reason why they became soft is not because wine was added to them, but rather simply because the oil itself began, was like squeezed out of the olives. Yeah. So that's what made them soft.
You press them together in a cake.
Right,
sure.
Right. The Rabbi Yossi and the Shalachin also. Rabbi Yossi says that the Shalachin are prohibited. The question is, what are Shalachin? So Shalachin, we said that it's so soft that when you take the olive in your hand, it's overripe and the pits fall right out. Okay. So he says, Hechi Domi Shalachin. How do we explain what are shlochen? He says that Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, said, Kol she'echa zo biyodoi, the garanis v'nishmetas. This is an olive that he holds in his hand, and the pit comes right out. Okay. Then the next line,
Well,
if
that's so soft, you know.
Right. Well, frankly, if I would see something like that, I would think that might be spoiled.
Okay.
And then we had this business, where the guy is selling grasshoppers. Okay. Not sure. We're talking about, hopefully it's kosher grasshoppers. Okay. But what did we say? We said that it depends if he's there and he has a basket of grasshoppers in front, don't buy it. Okay?